So we're talking about blessing today. We're at the end of our ascent, right? The Psalms of Ascent. What are the Psalms of Ascent? Oh, Sunday school. Please go. Okay. All right. Bless you, though. All right. They put a sign up here, and I still miss it because my folder covers it. So one of these days, I'll get it right. Isn't God good that even though we blow it, he works with us? So we're a piece of work. So we've been talking through the Psalms of Ascent. So what Psalms are they? Psalm what? 120 to 134. Maybe you never realized these were a solid unit or a unit of the Psalms, and they had a beginning and an ending. There's a progression. It's about a journey. So we're on Psalm 134. The journey is over. You might say, praise the Lord, Eric. We've been in Psalms for a long time, since September. But maybe you're saying, I feel like I'm just getting started. The Psalms of Ascent are a picture of our pilgrim life, our journey to the heavenly city. Has anyone here ever read Pilgrim's Progress or seen the movie? Or read the kids' version, right? There's a bunch of them out there. I think second to the Bible, it's one of the best-selling books of all time. Maybe it's not second, but it's pretty high up there. So if you haven't read it, it's a good book. Well, on that note, I just want to make a transition. Have you ever introduced someone to something that you love and are joyful about? Like Rebecca introduced us to Japan today. Could you see the joy? She's excited. Have you ever done that? And have you ever done that and you see someone else, maybe it was something that on the surface didn't look that great, but once the person does it, they catch that joy that you had and it gives you joy. I think of Donna, you know, like Bee's Keys, it's hard. It's hard to teach those kids those things, but when you see a piano student blossom and love music and piano, does that give you joy? Yeah, it keeps you going. So all of us have something like that. For me, I don't want to paint myself in the corner, but I had this happen this week with the Madison Game Club. So you might not know, but that whole thing kind of began out of a seed. We were talking a while back about our circles of influence, and I realized that Eric, his factory was Grace Fellowship. Most of my family know the Lord, at least the ones around here. A lot of my friends are Christian. I was like, man, I'm in a Christian ghetto. I need to get out and get to know some non-believers. And I'm telling you guys to evangelize, and I'm not knowing anybody. And I was thinking about it, and I remember Matt had said one of them was fun. I was like, well, I like games. I like board games. I like card games. I wonder if I could connect that way. And through a series of things, the Lord led to start a game club in the local school district in the elementary. And we play games with kids. And they start talking about their lives. And we ask if we could pray for them. And then we were inviting them to the Good News Club. And they were starting to get saved. The ones that maybe wouldn't go to the Good News Club because it was a Good News Club. But they knew us from the game club. And they said, well, if Mr. Fox and Mr. Byram go there, well, maybe I'll check it out. And they were finding Jesus. So we've continued to do that. And I just love it when I introduce kids to a game that looks boring. And then they catch it, and I see a little glimmer in their eye. This week I was doing that with this one game. It was a game about Rear Window. You ever seen that Alfred Hitchcock movie? Way back in the 60s, Rear Window. Jimmy Stewart of It's a Wonderful Life fame. He breaks his leg. He's a photographer, and there was a car accident. And so he's stuck in his apartment in New York. He's looking out the rear window, and he notices that he thinks there's been a murder committed. He's being nosy about his neighbors. And this one neighbor's acting suspiciously. So this whole game is like a murder mystery. But, you know, the cover is something these kids have never seen. They've never heard of Rear Window. And Hannah graciously let me introduce the group to it. Was it fun, though? At first, you were a little like, oh, well, okay, Mr. Byram. You're always the one teaching new games. I'll tolerate you. And because Hannah was willing to tolerate me, her friends were willing to tolerate me. And then I said, okay, well, we're going to do another game. They go, no, we want to play it again. I want to be the director. I want to be the director. And I had to head off, and they want to play next week, and they were real excited. So it brought me joy that they got joy out of that. All that to say, how much more introducing people to the God of heaven and earth who wants a relationship with them can give you and I joy? If I get a little joy out of just a silly old dumb game, how much more when you introduce someone to Jesus Christ, the creator of this universe, and they get that spark in their eye. They thought, oh, this Bible's an old dusty book, and suddenly they realize, oh, there's life inside. There's relationship. It's talking about a God who loves me, as Rebecca said. So that's what we're talking about today, is that this journey, this destination we're going towards ends in joy. And because it's so awesome, it's the best journey ever. So if I was to summarize it, Travy's my wingman here. You got that up there, Trav? If I was to summarize it, declare that God's path is the best path. That's what Psalm 134 is saying. And you might notice it's a short psalm. It's one of the shortest. And it's so easy for us with these short psalms to read them and go, oh, that's good, moving on. Moving on. Well, let me read this to you. There it is. It's all there. Very short. 3 verses. But I don't think I'm reading it. I think Holly's reading it, isn't she? Is she reading it today? All right. So, Holly, will you read it for us in your sultry alto voice? Yes.
Okay, here we go. Psalm 134, ESV version. Come bless the Lord, a song of ascents. Come bless the Lord, all you servants of the Lord who stand by night in the house of the Lord. Lift up your hands to the holy place and bless the Lord. May the Lord bless you from Zion, he who made heaven and earth.
The end. Go in peace. No, all right. You're like, great, Eric. That's the best sermon you ever preached. It's so short. I'm sorry to disappoint. So, declare that God's path is the best path. What does the world tend to say is the best path?
Easiest.
Self-actualization. I remember kids, I don't know anything you want to say, I want to be president of the United States, right? They thought that was the thing. I don't know if that's still the thing. Yeah. YouTuber of the United States. Well, let me share this story. Sometimes we think something is the best, the pinnacle. Like, if I can just have that, I will be happy. I will be powerful. I will be whatever. Eugene Peterson, I was reading in his book, actually on the Psalms of Ascents, and he has this story about Chuck Colson. Does anyone know who Chuck Colson is? Who was Chuck Colson, for those of us that don't know Chuck? Yes, so he was advisor, he was a helper, and he shares the story after they struggled and strived and finally won the presidency. He shared, here's what was happening. So listen to this. It says, months of struggle and strategy of sacrifice all paid off in a landslide victory for President Nixon in 1972. On election night, his aide, Charles Colson, was in the place he had always wanted to be. The picture Colson draws of that night contains 3 figures, Chief of Staff H.R. Haldeman, arrogant and sullen. Nixon restlessly gulping down scotch, and Colson feeling let down, deflated, and he said, a deadness inside me. 3 men at the pinnacle of the world, and not a single note of joy discernible in the room. Colson says, if someone had peered in on us that night from some imaginary peephole in the ceiling of the president's office, what a curious sight it would have been, a victorious president grumbling over words he would grudgingly say to his fallen foe, his chief of staff angry, surly, and snarling, and the architect of his political strategy sitting in a numbed stupor. And Eugene writes this, this experience is not uncommon. We work hard for something, we get it, and then we find we don't want it. We struggle for years to get to the top and find life there thoroughly boring. Colson writes, being part of electing a president was the fondest ambition of my life. For 3 long years, I committed everything I had, every ounce of energy to Nixon's cause. Nothing else mattered. When we had had no time together as family, no social life, no vacations. And then, having in his hands what he had set out to gain, he found he couldn't enjoy it. Pearson goes on to say, for some, the goal is an academic degree, a career position, a certain standard of living, acquiring some possession, getting married, having a child, landing a job, visiting a country, or meeting a celebrity. But having gotten what we always wanted, we find we have not gotten what we wanted at all. We are less fulfilled than ever and are conscious only of a deadness inside us. Contrary to that, let me present Psalm 134. The end of the journey is important. Either it will lead to a deadness inside us or the joy you and I most long for. We see in Psalm 144 that this is a journey that God has put forth, and it is the best path. It ends in joy. It ends in blessing and being blessed. What journey would be better? So as I unpack this idea of declaring that God's path is the best path, it unfolds in these three verses, and you can see that if we will take the time to slow down and not just breeze through the three verses and move on our merry way. The first one is we do this through faithfulness. The second, we do it through praise. And the third, we do it through our journey. So let's jump back here to the first one. Declare that God's path is the best path through your faithfulness. Verse 1. What's verse 1 say? It says, come bless the Lord, all you servants of the Lord who stand by night in the house of the Lord. So we stop and we think about that for a minute. They're being called to bless the Lord. They're servants of the Lord. Who might these people be? Priests, Levites. When are they doing this? In the middle of the night. Think about the other Psalms of Ascent. Were there any other people in the middle of the night? Watchmen. That's probably what these priests were doing. The other passages where it spoke of watchmen, were they praising? What were they doing? Thank you. You like that dictionary defines the word with the word? Yeah. What? Okay. He said watching. Yeah, they were watching, but protecting, but that psalm was like, out of the depths I cry to you, O Lord. Like watchmen wait for morning, I wait for God. Like Dan said, they were desperate for God, waiting desperately. So we see these watchmen. We might think they're like, praise the Lord in the middle of the night as they yawn. But these are faithful servants deciding to stick with God out of the depths. Holding on to God, we talked in that sermon about like God is that lifeline in the quicksand that you're seeking to hold to and be pulled out of it, out of the depths. You are the cord. You are the one thing that's going to save me, God. You are the destination that's worth pursuing. So you and I declare God's path is the best in our faithfulness to hold on to Him, whatever, hell or high water, as they say. Do you realize that your faithfulness, you're saying, like, I think of when Jesus had said, eat my body and drink my blood, and like everybody left, and then he goes to the disciples, he says, disciples, are you guys going to leave me too? And Peter's like, well, you got the words of life. I don't know. I didn't get what you just said. Kind of grossed me out, but you're it, man. You're my only cord. If I let go of you, I'm toast. So I don't get you all the time. I don't get why you let certain things happen, but you're all I got. I'm sticking with you. So, is your faithfulness as a servant of the Lord, you know, like the Bible has said in the New Testament that we are a priesthood of believers, that His temple is now placed within us. So like these Levites, you and I are priesthood. Are we faithfully serving and blessing the Lord in the watches of the night, the dark night of the soul, as you and I go through the tough stuff? That is a testimony. I don't see Brian here today. Is Brian here? Oh, Brian's not here. Brian is a testimony. Faithfully taking care of Sue for 4 or 5 years. I don't know. It's been a while. And he might feel like, and I'm not saying anything I wouldn't say if he was here, so he might feel like, wow, this is hard. What have I been doing for God in this time? You know, and I hear he comes out Wednesday, and they're kind of struggling. Like, wow, I haven't shared Christ in a long time. And I might go up to Brian and encourage him, say, you're sharing Christ right now, Brian. You're holding on to God, hell or high water. Your faithfulness is a loud testimony to the rest of us and to those who watch. So are you declaring God's path is the best path through your faithfulness in the watches of the night? Second, not only do you declare that God's path is the best path through your faithfulness, you declare God's the best path, number two, through your praise. Through your praise. Look at verse 2 there. Lift up your hands to the holy place and bless the Lord. Lift up your hands to the holy place and bless the Lord. Our praise proclaims that God's path is the best path. What you and I value most is what we will praise. A lot of times we think it's praise is what, you know, we just sang praise songs and that's it. And we kind of go our merry way. But what you and I value most and what we praise, what we worship, we give the most worth to worship. We will declare that's the best path. You know, that's why infomercials, what do they have? Testimonials, right? My life has been changed with this Ginzu knife. It cuts through copper pipe. Whatever it is. You think, man, I want that too. Hearing Rebecca's testimony, you think, okay, sign me up. I'm going to Japan tomorrow. It's awesome. What you and I give worth to, where our treasure is, we are saying this is where life is. This is the best path. So we have to give a kind of spiritual inventory. What are we praising with our life? Are we really praising that which is most worthy? Most worth of worship, you know? Worship? You and I will move towards and resemble what we praise. Think about that again. We will move towards and resemble what we praise. So if we are praising God and that relationship with Him, we will begin to reflect His glory to others. 1 Corinthians talks about that. We looked at that a few years back. We looked at the whole book, but the idea of the transformation of us. And we think of Moses, when he was in God's presence, he had to wear a veil because he was reflecting that glory so much people can look at him. I love how it says, we with unveiled faces reflect the glory of God now in this new covenant. So, question, Grace Fellowship, are you resembling God because you value Him most in your life? So if you're not resembling God, maybe you're looking at your life and go, I'm anything but resembling God. How do you resemble God? You go towards Him. You praise Him, you worship Him, and you will begin to look like Him. So if you're feeling like things aren't working right now, go and abide in His presence. That will begin to transform you. So third, we said we can declare God's path is the best path through our faithfulness, through our praise. Third, through our journey. So our faithfulness, praise, and then lastly, our journey. Look at verse 3 with me. May the Lord bless you from Zion, He who made heaven and earth. In the Psalms of Ascent, Zion was the destination because it was where the temple was at. The footstool of God, where God placed His feet on earth. This verse is proclaiming that those who have made God their destination and who have blessed God with their faithfulness and praise receive the blessing of God for their journey. What's interesting about this, you might notice there's a key word in these. Starts with a B. What is the key word? Bless. But you might find in your translation it says praise, but it's the same word. And you might say, how could we bless God? Isn't it someone who's greater that blesses the other? Well, what we're doing is we're declaring that he is blessed. We're not necessarily blessing him. He already has everything. But in return, though, he is the greater one. He is blessing us. So those who bless God receive the blessing of God. And like I said before, you know, no longer is Zion the focus. God said, I'm no longer will you worship me on this hill or in Jerusalem, but you all will worship me in spirit and in truth. He has put his temple within us, his Holy Spirit within us. So this verse is proclaiming that those who have made God their destination, who have blessed God with their faithfulness and praise, receive the blessing of God on their journey. It sounds like Pilgrim's Progress. Let's go back to that little story. Christian is going to the celestial city. He has left the city of destruction. Many times things try to divert him from that journey, right? But he perseveres. He gets on the wrong path a few times, and he has to get back on the right path. But he continues on his journey to the celestial city. And because that is his focus, he receives help many times along the way from the good king to which he is going. He sings the praises of the king whom he longs to see, and he's given help on the journey from the king. So your and my journey proclaims that God's way is the best way to all those around you. Do you realize that? Are you willing to take the path less traveled and to invite others to join you? So, John, as we're talking about evangelism, sometimes we can say, well, I don't know how to share evangelism. Just be an Andrew. Say, come and see. I'm heading to the celestial city. Let's go together, brother. We don't have to have all the answers. In your joy, invite them on the journey. In your joy, invite them on that journey. We've been talking about this core value of service this year. It includes service to God and others. And evangelism is just inviting others. You're saying, this is the best journey. Come with me. And they can choose to not or choose to come. And you may invite them again. Hey, come with me. Ministry is helping those with you on the journey and reminding them that God's path is the best path. Going back to Pilgrim's Progress, I had the little kids version I read to Talia and to Travis and Ethan. Do you guys remember the second half of that? Christiana? You remember that? You forget. Okay, they were probably asleep by the time I got to that part. But Christian goes, and then Christiana and a couple of the younger ones go later. And she didn't want to go by herself, and she brought some of the younger siblings, and they go as a group together. Ministry together. We're encouraging one another, so we don't have to do this journey alone. We can spur one another on. Does anyone know the Westminster Catechism, what's the main purpose of humankind? Do you remember that one? Good memory. Nice. To glorify God and enjoy him forever. What I love is John Piper, a while back, he wrote a book called Desiring God. And he said, I want to change one of the and to a by. The chief end of humankind is to glorify God by enjoying him forever. Because sometimes we say, glorify God's over here and enjoying God's over here. And he said the and kind of makes us think that way. But they're actually together. We glorify God most by what we enjoy most, which is him. If he is our treasure, we glorify him. And if you think about your life, how many of the sins, bad choices, all the crud you ended up in was because you didn't find your joy in God. You found your joy in something else. You know, it's amazing. So if we just focus in on that one thing, glorify God by enjoying him. And you might say, and you may associate church with God, and you think, oh, I just am watching my watch like I am right now, Eric. When am I out of here? This is hard for me. I don't like this. And you think that is God. God is so much bigger. What does this say? The God who made heaven and earth. Church is so much bigger, or your relationship with God is so much bigger than a church service. This is the time we can minister to one another. Maybe you had that wrong all along. So coming and saying, okay, how am I going to bless others and be blessed? Not just come for a show. So if you think about most, you know, we can enjoy God in all the good things He has given us in all of creation. So let me elicit some response. Outside here, what are things God has created that we can enjoy and give Him glory and enjoy that He has made that and given to us? Food. Nature. Relationships. What?
Fellowship.
Your spouse. Marriage. Your wonderful children. In their pajamas. Laughter. He has made. You look at creation, the story of creation, he says, it was what? Good. Now we see lots of ways it's fallen, but there's an image there of goodness still. We can worship and enjoy God in a lot of things, and we can have just this joy about us. I was reading in this. Getting ready for this, they were talking about Karl Barth. Does anyone know who Karl Barth is? He's a theologian. He wrote, like, Dogmatics. And you might think, well, someone who wrote Dogmatics, they're probably a dour-faced guy wearing those 60s-type spectacles. I don't know why you want to know the guy. But actually, they're saying Karl Barth always had a little turn of a smile. He was full of joy. He was very humble. He didn't espouse how much he had done. Someone actually, he lived in Switzerland. Someone came to Switzerland and they said, he was sitting on the bus with them. And he said, what do you want to do while you're here in this town? They're like, well, I'd love to meet Karl Barth. And he said, well, I shave him every day. And the person then went, I met the Karl Barth's barber. Yeah, he was very unpretentious. And he said, if you participate in theology and you're dour face, you shouldn't even do that because it should bring great joy to study God. Not make you a dour-faced person. You know, Charles Dickens said, one of his characters, he said, she makes a religion of her rigidity. I don't want to be that person who makes a religion of my rigidity. I want to be joyful. That is a true Christian, is a joyful, contagious, joyful person because they are on the best path going to the best destination. Is that how you see yourself? And that's what this is telling us is the key to all the rest of the Psalms of Ascent, that this journey ends in a place of joy, and there's joy in the journey. Though it's tough, though there's many battles yet to be fought, when you know that destination is a good place, it's not going to leave you empty when you get there, that's worth going for. That's worth slogging through some swamps for, going through some valleys for, and to keep going. So may this psalm encourage you with its emphasis on blessing. So we're going to listen to a song. It's rather recent on the radio, but I want you to listen to the words of this song, and then I'm going to close us in prayer. So listen to this song prayerfully, maybe with your eyes closed or just in a focus. The words will be on the front. So Travis, if you could cue us up.
I'm so blessed, hallelujah, I'm blessed.
pray. Lord, thank you that the journey is the best. You're the destination. Remind us of that as we go forth. Keep us firmly and planted in the fact that our destination is an amazing, wonderful one. And may we call others to join us on that journey. In Jesus' name, amen. So, like the priests raised their hands to receive the blessing, we're going to raise our hands now as a benediction. And then we're going to go to Circle Church. Go forth this week declaring through your faithfulness, your praise, and your journey that God's path is the best path. Go forth glorifying God by desiring Him above all things and letting your worship of Him expand into all areas of life. Go in peace.